The following content is provided under a Creative Commons license. Your support will help MIT OpenCourseWare continue to offer high-quality educational resources for free. To make a donation or view additional materials from hundreds of MIT courses, visit MIT OpenCourseWare at ocw.mit.edu.
So today is going to be brainstorming what you're going to be doing for Project 1. And then you're going to be forming up into teams. And then you're going to be doing, and you're going to start prototyping that. You can think of all of Project 1 being actually one giant prototype. But I'm going to start you with, you know, the very, very rough prototype by the end of this class. You should have something that you can walk away with. And maybe that prototype will be, this is a great place for us for Project 1 to be. Or you might decide at the end of class that, you know, that prototype we built in class, that was terrible. Let's never build that game, right? You know? And that's great. That's very informative. Because now you know what game you're not making. Okay. All right. So, let's see. I'm going to talk very briefly about what brainstorming actually is. Because there are a lot of people out there who have heard of brainstorming, but they don't actually know what the practice actually is or what the best practice of what brainstorming is. So, let's see. Making a video game, making a computer game is, you know, a coordinated creative collaboration involving very different kinds of skills, right? You know, you have artists, you have sound, you have game designers, you have programmers, you have producers and money people, all working together to try to create this one creative project. But there are some specific social pressures against sharing your ideas in a collaborative environment. People get kind of hesitant to say what they're thinking because everyone's from a different discipline. You know, maybe, you know, you're in a company like, I don't know, Apple or something, which is very designer-led. Maybe you're in a company that's very tech-led or something like that. Or maybe it's just the dynamics of your own social group and you've met each other for the first time and you don't know what other people are going to think of your ideas. So there are a couple of principles of brainstorming. According to, not this guy, but this guy, Alex Osborne, who wrote a book called Applied Imagination. He was originally an advertising manager, BBDO, which was a very large advertising agency. And there are some similarities to ad marketing and video game design, although it's not a one-to-one connection. But there are some principles that we in game design really, really do think are shared in common when it comes to the process of brainstorming. Does anybody watch cardboard animations, by the way?
Yes.
Like, this is, okay, I'm just going to do my attribution. It's like, I did not create this picture. This is from cardboard animations. It's a YouTube guy. All right, so the first thing that you have to do, the most important rule of any brainstorm session is you don't criticize. You don't say, that was a bad idea. You don't say, oh, you know, I'm so sick of that. It says, oh, that's just like, you know, 100 games that already exist or something like that. It's like, oh, God, zombies again? You know, stuff like that. If you don't stick to the no criticism rule, the entire brainstorm session might well become just a waste of time. There's a couple of reasons for that. But the main reason is that as soon as one person's opinion gets shut down, everybody starts to second guess whether the next thing they're going to say is also going to get shut down, even if it's a completely different opinion. That's not what you're looking for. You're looking for as many ideas as possible. You don't want to be in a situation where someone's deliberately holding back their opinion or their idea just because they're worried that somebody else is going to make fun of them. You know, that's a lot of danger of professional shame and fear, which is really, really common in MIT, unfortunately. And you kind of want to work out of that as quickly as possible and get to a situation where we're just going to assume that anything that gets said is going to get written down, is going to get recognized, and then we just keep trying to come up with more ideas. Don't pass judgment in the middle of a brainstorming session. In the end, you're going to walk away with one good idea that you're going to work on after a brainstorming session. You're going to decide, okay, all right, you know, out of this entire pile of ideas, we seem pretty jazzed about this one. And that's all you really needed. who cares if, you know, 99% of stuff on the sheet of paper that you wrote down were bad ideas, right? Those are not the things that you need to worry about going on, going later. Now, that's not the case. Later on in development, you're actually going to have to start to very, very carefully decide whether adding anything new along the way is necessarily a good thing or a bad thing for a project. It will certainly make your project longer by adding something new in mid project. But when you're brainstorming, when you're coming up with a new idea right from the beginning, what game are we going to work on? Hold that criticism. Don't, you know, make sure that you're not actually criticizing anyone. Try to encourage people to explore new territories. If you find yourself in a situation where you feel, I'm not quite sure whether other people are going to like this idea, then you're already doing brainstorming wrong. And other people should be trying to encourage each other to come up with your to say what they're thinking. Especially if two of you are friends or something and sitting next to each other and one of them says, we should do a game about blah, and it's like, say it out loud. Don't just keep it to yourselves. You know, share it with the rest of your brainstorming group. It should be freewheeling. The wilder the idea, the better. Who's played this game? Yeah, this is Katamari Damacy, where you roll a small ball that becomes a bigger ball and bigger ball because it keeps picking up things, crap from everyday life into buildings, into mountains. And it's kind of a bizarre game, at least, you know, from a pitch point of view. And when you actually play it, it's still a pretty bizarre game. But, you know, typically, innovation starts from pipe dreams or blue moon ideas. So it's easy. It's more difficult to expand on an idea that's actually very, very that's very simple and straightforward. It's much, much easier to take an idea that's just wild and out there and then tame it down to the point where the rest of the team can work with it. So start with the wild and out there. You know, it's easier to figure out, okay, maybe we don't want to get that offensive, or maybe we don't want to, you know, to be that ambitious in our project after you've already decided this is the basic idea that we're going for. So try to be freewheeling, try to see how far those boundaries can be pushed while you're brainstorming. This is actually, I would say, the goal of brainstorming. It's, you know, you will walk away with, you know, the one idea that you're actually going to work on at the end of a brainstorming session. But the process of doing that is to get as many ideas as you can. So you want a huge amount of ideas. In other words, you're not actually trying to solve a problem in brainstorming. Or if you're trying to solve a problem, the problem you're trying to solve is you don't have enough ideas to work with. You're trying to generate as many ideas as possible. So the more ideas that you've generated, the more successful the brainstorm session is. That's another reason why you don't want to be judging your ideas in the middle of a brainstorm session. You don't say, well, that was useful and that was not, while you're actually brainstorming. You can do that after the brainstorm session. And more likely what's going to happen is that during our brainstorming session today, you're going to come up with a whole bunch of ideas, and a few of you in a brainstorm session are going to say that was a good idea, and a few of you are going to say a different one was a good idea. And that's fine, because you're going to break up into different teams anyway. So all ideas are welcome, nothing's excluded, and the more ideas you have, the more likely there's going to be one that multiple people are going to get really excited about, including yourself. So one way to sort of generate new ideas is just combine things that people have said before, and then build things on top of them, you know. Plants are cool. Zombies are cool. Plants and zombies, you know? You know, Lego and Star Wars, right? Those are cool things. So let's make Lego Star Wars. Or, you know, Marvel is pretty cool. Capcom is pretty cool. Marvel versus Capcom is insane. Great ideas are often generated when you just combine disparate ideas, right? You know, different things that you've talked about, you know, 2 minutes ago, you know, maybe when you combine them, could be absolutely ridiculous, but that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the wilder things that then you can later tame down, and, you know, you can just think about permutations, right? You came up with 5 straightforward ideas, and then you can permutate combinations of all of that. And often what happens is that just that entire process sparks a new idea that you can, you know, that just came out of nowhere, and then you can write that down too. So often ideas are built or expanded off other ideas. So, how do we do this? So, what we're going to end up doing is we're going to end up breaking into groups of about 7 or 8 people. That's usually typically a good size of people where everyone can sort of hear everybody talk, but people don't have to talk over each other or wait too long for their turn. We're going to go to different parts of campus. A few of them, of you can stay in this room. We're going to check whether there's another classroom down the hall that might be available, and we'll open up our game lab. If there's not enough space, the data center is literally next door. Lots of tables around there with multiple chairs. So just go there, and we're going to break out for about 20 minutes to be able to go through this process. One tip. Start off with the worst idea that you can think of. Like, literally, the idea that you know no one is going to ever want to make this game, and just, like, just throw it out there. It's like, set the bar as low as you can. let's see. When someone is speaking, don't interrupt that person. But when you're the person who's speaking, get your idea out as quickly as possible. You don't have to belabor the point. You don't have to explain everything in detail. The idea is to get to the next idea as quickly as possible. So just enough information to make sure that everybody's heard it, especially the person who's writing things down. Is that room open?
Nope.
There's not a classroom.
One group, if we get 2 groups in here, 1 group in the game lab, 1 group can go over to Stata.
Yep. Okay.
And I've got, for the groups that have to move, I've actually got...
writing pads. Yep.
Writing pad. Or you can just keep notes on your computer, but there's something about to
So designate a facilitator and a secretary. The secretary is a person who's going to be writing everything down. I'll go into more detail. And the facilitator is a person whose job is to try to get everyone talking. So right at the beginning, say who's going to facilitate this, who's going to be the secretary. If you've done this often enough, the same person could do both. But that means that person probably doesn't have enough brain power to actually contribute to the brainstorming itself, which is not great. You know, if you split it up into 2 different roles, usually everyone, including the secretary and the facilitator, can also be involved in the brainstorming process. This comes out from Osborne, which is to... Well, I'm explaining the process right now. I'm explaining to you how brainstorming works, so you're not going to have to do it. But if you're doing this with any other class... with other groups of people who may not have taken any of our game design classes where you might have seen these slides before. You want to do just what I'm doing right now. Explain this is how we're going to be doing it. And the principal question. Principal question, which is going to be, what are some ideas for Project 1 that can fit the requirements that you've got for Project 1? What kind of game do people want to build? Write down everything that comes up. Make sure everything is recorded. You can do that on paper, which is great because everyone can see what you're writing. If you do this on a laptop, it's a little bit harder. Often I only do laptop recordings if I've got a projector at the same time. If not, I would much rather use something like a chalkboard and then type it down on the laptop after the process. Lots of chalkboards here in MIT, even in the data center. So you can do that. You can take chalk from here, by the way. Let's see. One thing to keep in mind about writing down everything, sometimes what happens is somebody says one idea, somebody builds on top of that idea, and that second thing doesn't get written down, right? Because it seems like just a minor refinement of that first thing. But that minor refinement might actually be the better version of that idea. So when in doubt, just write everything down. It's very, very easy to accidentally miss out on small variants that might actually have the thing that you're looking for. Now, not everything is suitable for brainstorming, so this is something to keep in mind if you want to do brainstorming outside of this class. It's good for things like creative questions. It's not good for things like judging whether an idea is good or not. For judgment calls. So, for instance, Osborne has the example of should I get married? That's not a good brainstorming session. What are the pros and cons of getting married? That's even worse. The problem should be simple. If the problems are not simple, then maybe you want to do separate brainstorming sessions for subdivisions of that problem. Problem should be clearly and simply articulated. In this particular case, what game do you want to make for Project One? That's a pretty simple statement, which is, you know, what are the costs and benefits of doing something is actually really, really hard to articulate to begin with and difficult to brainstorm on top of that. So if you're a facilitator, what do you have to do? You have to understand and explain the problem. Well, in this case, I hope everyone here already explains it, but you want to restate it right at the beginning of the session. It's not, what games do you like to play? That's a completely different question. You know, this is, what game do you want to make before this first project? Remember, it's non-digital, so you're not going to be playing it on a computer. It's going to be single player. There's, I actually don't have the assignment in front of me, but you can read it. But actually, I would suggest the facilitator just read through Project 1, just to hit the high points, just to remind everybody these are the things that we're brainstorming about. Encourage ideation. You know, if you notice somebody is not talking, you know, try to give that person some time to actually say something. It's like, do you have any ideas that you'd like to share? You know, it's like, if somebody keeps talking all the time, is it like, is anyone else? You know, just try to manage the tempo of the session so that everyone has a chance. Even if they have no ideas, you know, and it's just like, not yet, you know, that's fine. But at least they had that time to be able to say something. Encourage the combination of ideas, even if it means that you are going to have to take two ideas and combine it in a really, really bad way. Just get that ball rolling so that other people start doing it too. And if somebody does start making judgment calls, like says, oh, that's terrible, that's so lame, you know, things like that, the facilitator's job is to catch that and says, like, whole criticism, let's go on, you know, just to remind everyone that we're not in the job, our job today is not to decide which of, or it's our job during the brainstorming session is not to decide what was a good idea or a bad idea. Responsibilities of the secretary is recording every idea. Check the time. The secretary is the timekeeper. Let's see, it's about 2:22 right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back here at 3. You have to be back in this room by 3. Maybe you're brainstorming in this room, then you know, then it's fine, but you have to make sure that you're well done and you're back in your seats by 3 o'clock. Everyone has to be back here by 3 o'clock.
Do we want to do a count-off so people who don't waste time by the
groups? Sure. I just want one more point to make. If it's difficult for one person to keep up with the speed of the ideas, the secretary can say, hold it, I need some help. And then a second person can also start recording things. And then what happens is that you record every other idea. Make sure that you can see what the other person is recording.
So yeah. Is the goal of this to come back with one idea that everyone likes?
No, nope, it's to come up with a whole pile of ideas.
And just like...
Yeah.
Okay.
And what happens is that you're all going to come here at the end of it. And out of that session, some of you are going to say, man, I really, really want to make that game that we brainstormed, right? And then the people who are really excited about specific ideas are going to say, like, I would like to make a team about this. And then you can explain that, you know, in a way that you think that you want to do it. Yeah?
Is this for the Project 1 constraints?
Yes, specifically. Yeah, it has to be a game that meets the Project 1 constraints. You don't have to worry too much about how it's going to meet Project 1 constraints during the brainstorm session. But if it helps, the constraints might actually give you some clues about what kind of game you'd like to do in that fits those parameters.
And you had mentioned like non-digital means like tag and stuff, but we are still focusing on something that can become a video game, right?
It is going to be more useful if you eventually build something that is that could be imagined as a video game as well.
But you don't have to turn this prototype into a video game.
Yeah.
The goal of this project is really to teach non-digital prototyping and give you a chance to play around with prototyping skills and game design skills before you even.
And tag can be very easily converted into a computer. Yeah. Just
Doom.
Avatars. Well, Doom is kind of a tag with
Doom
guns.
A lot of tag.
Yeah. let's see. Again, you're going to be splitting up into groups of about 7 or 8, but that doesn't mean that all 7 and 8 need to agree on this is the one best idea. That's not the point. The point is for you to generate so much ideas that all of you in there have at least one idea that you might feel pretty good about.
Yeah, your project
Yeah.
These are your brainstorming things. Project teams will be formed based on the ideas you come back with and you want to
Okay.